right, welcome to the podcast of the Campus Chronicle, the fall of 2017. My name is Bailey Perkins. I'm sitting here with Barbara and Hillary, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've got going on for this issue of the paper. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Okay. Well, I'm Barbara Fisher.
Uh-huh. I'm Hillary Hamilton.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Just a little background here. We're all on the newspaper staff, obviously. This is my first year kind of doing a class like this, but in high school I was the editor of the video news production team and the student and staff liaison, so that was a pretty neat thing. It's kind of my first time after high school doing this, and really excited to just dive in.
Yeah.
All right, so what stories we have going on here, Barbara has a really interesting story about the textbooks, and what's going on with that whole situation, Barbara?
Well, I just want to know why the textbooks are so expensive. They're very expensive. Sometimes you go there and they try, you know, it's like, it doesn't even have a cover, it's just loose pages, and it costs, you know, $100-something. It just seems like it doesn't make sense. And I want to know why.
Right.
I want to know why.
And it's a complete different culture than what, you know, our parents and our grandparents have grown up in. As a server, I talk to my tables about, you know, whatever they want to talk about. And I kind of try to steer the conversation. But where it was going a few weeks ago was this, I had a table that asked me what I was doing for school, what I was going to do with my life. And I said, oh, well, I'm going to school and, you know, I'm working so I can buy my books and pay my rent, pay, you know, all these other bills I have. I said, oh, wow, books are absolutely expensive nowadays. So, yeah, you're right. I have spent half my tuition on trying to get books, and then some of them aren't even bound, and then others are just access codes.
So right, and that's another thing. Is with the online classes, they'll often give you an access code that is not usable again by another student. So that reduces the amount of money you can get back from your book. Because it used to be, well, I'll just resell this, and sure, you get a fraction of what you paid for it even then, but if they can't even reuse it, then you're kind of getting even less, and then they would have to buy another access code for an online course. It just seems like it's becoming more and more of a jip.
So how much did you guys spend on books this semester? Do you remember? I spent about $1,200. I'm a pre-nursing student, and I did elect to buy from the bookstore on campus because that was most convenient to me, time-wise.
I'm going to be honest and say I haven't even bought my books yet.
You're waiting because it's that
expensive. Yeah, I haven't gotten my financial aid back yet.
That's a huge issue. I know that Pearson offers, what, the two-week trial online?
For free,
but if you're not able to get the books by then, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, full disclosure here, I'm a very personable guy, so I just make friends with people in my class, and I just borrow their books, so we'll hang out and we'll study together. So I haven't bought my books for the past three semesters because they're so expensive, but I have books that I, like, absolutely need for my online classes this year. I've done the math and run everything up, and I think I've calculated it out to going the cheapest route I can. I can spend about, I'm spending, I think, $189. When that's from, like, really cheap, discounted online renting stores that I have to... One, their website looks like it's from the 90s, and maybe I shouldn't be trusting them, but it's cheap, so I have to go there, otherwise I can't afford to get the books that I need to do things, so...
Right. Yeah, have you rented books before?
I've rented from a different website, Chegg, obviously, that's everybody's number one go-to, and they give you free laundry stuff, which is the best, because, you know... Mm. Laundry stuff when you're a college student, it's like a commodity, right?
Just reminding you. Be clean.
It's like, smell decent for your classes, please, right? And I mean, I trust Chegg a lot, but my mom found this other website. She's like, hey, we should rent your books from here. I'm like, all right, mom, whatever you think. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy, so.
I mean, I've done it too, and it was kind of like to return them in the right condition at the right moment and save
and
all the bits.
And that's another scary thing, too, is that you're renting these books. You can't make your notations, you can't write, you can't, like, highlight and everything. So you're, not only is it's the fear of, am I going to get my money back because I just rented this, and it's, obviously I'm using it, so it's going to go back in a condition that it didn't come to me in. But it's also...
Another thing that I've been thinking about since working on this story a little bit, is how much do you even use the books once you have them?
Right.
Some classes, you just buy it, and it's like...
I have one class where I do quizzes on the book online, but he doesn't use it at all in the classroom.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and there's also been something interesting that's developed this year, and I don't know if other students have noticed this, but I've had professors tell me that we're not going to use the online portion of the book at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when I went online to, you know, we go to our student registration and mm-hmm. you check out student services to see what books are required to have for the semester, even if you're somebody smart and who doesn't necessarily open those books mm-hmm. until the day of class to make sure you have what you need, why is the store on campus requiring us to buy books that contain information we don't need to use? Mm-hmm. I know right. specifically for an anatomy class, I don't need to use the online portion. However, the online books that were available only came with the online portion. So what's the deal with that?
I've noticed the opposite of that is I was looking at one of my anthropology books I needed to get, and the professor specified in on the book is like without online portion. You know, mm-hmm. it's an online Blackboard class. So we just bought like the book that we'd have if we were going to class.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in some of my other anthropology classes that I've had here, the professor, I don't think he's ever cracked open the book. I mean, mm-hmm. he's an incredibly smart man, so he doesn't need to. And all the quizzes and the tests and everything were over the material he lectured on. And so you have to take strenuous notes in class. Mm-hmm. And he didn't use the book because he'd say, oh, yeah, you need to go home and read, you know, chapters X, Y, Z.
It's almost like an app.
But he would just tell you what was in the chapter and lecture over that anyway.
Which makes you wonder, who is requiring professors to turn in their books? Mm-hmm. And I really want to know, does DMACC have a contract with Pearson that they have to have a certain number of books sold, or they have to have I know for sure they have a contract with the bookstore to have them housed on DMACC's campus. So right. I think these are important questions that should be university. I think people should be aware of what contracts DMACC has right. with these organizations. I can tell you, if you look into the ISBN number is the important number, right, when you're going to
yes,
buy books?
Yes, right.
If you look into that, you can actually see a breakdown of what each part of the ISBN number means. A portion of that, and I'm so sorry to say ISBN number over and over, it's like an ATM right. machine, deal with it. But the important part to remember is DMACC has a specific number on that ISBN,
really?
Which is specific to the university that the book goes to. So even if another university has the exact same book, the professor chose the exact same chapters to be included in that book, we wouldn't know that because the ISBN is going to be different. So I think these are like weird, tricky ways that maybe we need to contact DMACC and our legislators about right. to get those fixed.
I understand why they do that in a sense, because there's some books that need to be specific to DMACC.
Right, shipping.
For example, Iowa State University, if they have the equivalent to our SDV, so our college experience class mm-hmm. that we're required to take, unless mm-hmm. you've had so many credit hours, is that book specifically made for DMACC. It's got like
right.
a picture of DMACC on the cover. So that makes getting that book easier because the ISBN is specific to that. So we're not accidentally going out to buy University of Northern Iowa's or Iowa State University's or, you know, ASU's in Arizona, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I understand that, but when it comes to books
like a microbiology or chemistry book.
Right. I would hope that the sciences wouldn't change from college to college.
Well, and the problem is they do. Like, let me give you a great example. I was in a chemistry class, and the professor said this, so I mean it's public knowledge. He said, I went through and I picked out the original book would have cost you over $300. He's talking about an original $300 chemistry textbook with a ton of stuff in it, right? Obviously, you can't cover all that in one
right.
semester.
Correct.
So what he did is he went through, in order to make it cheaper, and I'm using air quotes right now, in order to make it cheaper, he said that he was going to pick and choose a few chapters and made a book that we could only buy new. So I think Barbara has a lot to cover in this.
Right.
I know, I'm intimidated by
right.
it.
And I think that's a simple
question, complicated answer.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to hear from students on what their experience with books are for sure, because mm-hmm. I know if I have these weird questions, maybe some other nerd person is looking into what an ISBN is.
Right. Please stop by the news office in building, is this Five. Building five. Right. Well, I get my numbers. I'm a little dyslexic, so my numbers get mixed up a lot. But stop by us in building five or right near the security desk. And if we have one of our nice DMAC security officers there, you can probably just point you right over.
Or shoot. And if you're interested and you have some insider knowledge, maybe you want to think about joining Campus Chronicle.
Right.
We meet Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 11:15. It doesn't seem to be super organized. You can just come in. And yeah. We'll accept you.
Right. No, it's absolutely. By all means, we're always looking for stories to cover, and if we're working on a story and you somehow figure out that we are, please drop us a line, let us know. We're student run, so we need what you have in a sense that,
yes.
I mean, we're all students too, so we're in these classes sitting right next to you thinking about what our next story is going to be and, you know, how are we going to go about it. So if you have any ideas, just let us know.
Yeah, we'll be the ones wearing hats that say press. No,
right, we'll have some feathers.
That's a requirement.
That's a requirement, actually. It's on the syllabus, so yeah. We need it.
Yes.
So another one of our really interesting stories that we're going on is some of you probably don't know that DMAC actually has a few sports. We have baseball, we might have softball. We do have a cross-country team, which is what Hillary is writing about, specifically, though, a girl that has never run cross country, is that right, Hillary?
Not only has she never run cross country before, she's never been on a sports team.
Interesting.
So her name's Cassie Anderson. She's pretty awesome. I attended a meet last Friday to cheer on the Bears in Indianola. Had a chance to meet with Cassie and the other four members of the women's cross country team, as well as their coach. And they did a great job, number one. But number two, I really wanted to find out who is going out for cross country who's never done it before.
Right.
Because running a 5K isn't something everybody does. We all try to, you know, stay pretty fit. Generally, it can be hard when you're in college to get into those student organizations and get into the fitness center to keep fit. But this is somebody who just decided, hey, I'm going to leap in. Both feet first, and she is pretty much tearing it up. I'm really impressed by her.
She's doing a lot better than I probably would do. So.
Oh, God. Her description of her first practice cracked me up, though. And she has a lot of the same fears, I think, that students do when it goes to joining any student organization,
right?
Because you expect it to be kind of really structured, and you're scared to be somebody who steps into that.
Right.
But, I mean, I know as I've found, and hopefully you guys, too, student organizations here at DMAC are pretty much student-led.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of includes the sports teams. While you have a coach to design your practices and really give you great advice, any student is welcome, which is awesome. So, she'd sprinted. She liked to sprint when she was younger, stuff like that. She'd done, I like to say, the nerdy things because I did them myself, like theater, choir.
Oh,
she did a little bit of ballet. So she's been involved in different things, but just never a formalized sports team. So
that's
pretty inspiring.
Right, really. No, that's absolutely. I think that kind of speaks a lot to the diversity we have at DMAC and how awesome DMAC is that you can never do a sport in your life and walk on and be like, hey, can I do this? You know, it's a challenge. I want to do it. Dive in, you know, feet first, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I've seen even translate into the clubs here. You know, I joined a club, you know, this first, I've been here for, you know, this is my fifth semester now, and this is the first time I've ever been to a club.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was really scary kind of walking in. It's like, oh my gosh, all these people, like, they know each other because they've been here for some semesters in the past, and they're going to be super structured. I'm going to be like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to sit in the back and be quiet. But I got in there, and they're like, hey, what's up, dude? Like,
you're immediately making decisions.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I remember our first meeting of the Chronicle, even. I walked in. I felt like I might have been late. I didn't know it was a class. and immediately, there's this guy named Andy telling us to come up with story ideas. What do we want to write about?
Right.
And I think that's what college is all about, like learning that you just need to get involved in stuff, and it's entirely up to you. Cassie did that. I cannot think of a harder sport to just jump into.
Right.
Like, at the beginning, I mean, mid-August, mm-hmm. She's out there. It's hot. They're running the back nine. It is Boone-based, so she goes to the Ankeny campus, but she does drive out there for practices. I think they do it in the afternoons, which is the hottest part
right.
of the day.
Yeah. Even hotter.
So, very
So yeah, her last meet she did pretty good. There's a girl named Molly on the team that ran an 18:09 4K, which is about 2.2 miles. So I mean, she's got some awesome people. So it's not just people who have just started the sport. We've got some incredible athletes on our team as well. But yeah, I think it's really cool that Cassie decided to do that.
Right.
Welp.
Great word. We do have a lot of other stories going on. What I'm working on, actually, is some of you that frequent the library more than just walking through it to go through class, like most of us do. If you sit down and actually take a look around, they've actually expanded. So I have a cool story coming out about that. I sat down with the director of library services for Ankeny Campus. She's a pretty neat lady, and she's really passionate about what she does, and the library actually has some really new, cool features and services for students that not a lot of us know about, and that we should really be taking advantage of, that they're going unnoticed. And I mean, a lot of them are services that we've paid for in tuition that's gone to the library and stuff that. And I'm also doing other improvements in the same story around campus, so that would include just parking lot projects and aesthetic things. I'm going to sit down with Ned Miller, and we talked about those things, so that's also going to be included in my story.
Interesting.
I don't know who
Ned. Oh, sorry. Ned Miller is the he's the physical plant.
Oh.
Dude, he's like the I don't know his like I don't know like his actual title. I know he's really important. He's in charge of like everything that goes around physically around campus.
Okay, so he's really busy right now with the gym 2 being flooded.
Right. Just a brief overview of some of the other stories to look for on the 20th when our paper will come out. Overview of the salt company. One of our reporters is doing that. She's really excited about it. We got a preview of her story earlier and it was really, really good. And we have another one. Somebody else is going over the concussions and just the danger of playing football and what effects concussions can do. Barbara put him in contact with a friend of hers that's
a neuropsychologist.
Neuropsychologist. That's your science word of the day.
Neuropsychologist. That's the Iwan Will Smith from the movie.
That's right.
Right. And September is also Suicide Awareness Month, so we are doing a article over the darkness walk and just some other mental health tips to you're not alone, stuff kind of like that. And it's really important to talk about in September. I mean, I think every month, but September in particular is a really good one to talk about it. Mm-hmm. All right. So this has been Bailey, Barbara, and Hillary from the Campus Chronicles. You should stop by sometime, drop us a line, let us know some neat stories or you know something going on around campus that you want covered, let us know and we can see if we can get somebody out there.
Definitely. Come give us the news.
Please.